All right, here we go. My name's Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 144 of the world famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. You know, the West Virginia trip, that West Virginia trip, it threw me off, threw me completely off track. I know what you're thinking. I can hear what you're thinking. It's just one excuse after another with this guy. I think that's a little unfair, you know, from my point of view. Maybe not from, anyway, the West Virginia trip is one of those quickie in and out. I got two days of driving, 2 days there. Then I go and I come back and I'm buried at work again. And then I got all these, as they call them, opportunities. Like an enormous amount of opportunities at my job last week. So I got completely knocked off track. But the good news is I'm back. And I use the weekend to decompress. I feel better. I feel rested. I feel good. I feel centered again. And I'm back in the bunker. There's no plans to do any traveling from here on out. I have no plans at all. So I'm here for the duration, as far as I know. Unless something happens, you know, you never know. You never know what the future's going to hold. But I hope the plan is no more travel. No more, none of that leaving town business until maybe like next spring or fall or next summer, next spring, you know. So anyway, there shouldn't be any more of these interruptions. It's the point I'm trying to make, you know. I hope you guys are doing well. It's fall, it's full blown fall here. The leaves are down pretty much, I'd say 80% off the trees. The trees are pretty much bare at this point. They're all over the ground. It just causes another problem for me, you know. Tony's like, we need to go out there and just get those things off, you know, just rake them up. I said, what are we gonna do with them? She goes, throw them up in the woods. I said, I don't like that because if there's wind, it's just gonna blow them all over the neighbors, all over our yard again. And all over the neighbors' yards, one of the neighbors, you know, they get furious if a leaf falls on their beautiful manicured lawn. So that's not really solving the problem, just moving them over and to one side. I said, I want to get them out of there. I want to get them like taken out of there. So I called. I said, I'm gonna call somebody. I said, what's that list? She goes, Angie's list. I said, no. Not Angie. Screw Angie. You know, I don't like Angie. She can suck it, you know. She goes, I don't know what you're talking about. What's that? I said, what's that other list run by a man? She goes, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I said, Craigslist. She goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. So I looked on there. Some guy said he would clean up leaves. I called the guy. He goes, I can come by there tomorrow and give you a price. I said, all right, sounds good. He goes, supposed to rain tomorrow, so I won't be working, you know, have some time. I said, I don't really need all that background, just, you know. And so I was down here in the bunker, puttering around, doing something. And the older boy came down here. He goes, Dad, there's some hick on the front lawn. I said, what? He goes, I don't know. He's asking for you. I said, what do you mean, hick? He goes, I don't know. So I go up there, and he goes, hey. He goes, we just talked on the phone. I said, I thought you said you would come by tomorrow. He goes, well, I'll put it in the GPS. I'm 4 miles away. I thought, shit, you know, may as well just swing on by. I said, all right. Tony's like, there's no way we're paying $1 to clean those leaves up. I said, well, we'll see. I want to see what the price is. What do you think the price the key to this thing is they'll haul them away, you know. They'll put them in the back of their truck, this big, you know, dump truck or whatever. They'll haul them away. They'll take them away from here. That's the key. That's what I'm looking for. I don't mind so much. Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say I don't mind. But I can we can go out there and rake that shit up or blow it or whatever, whatever you need to do. It's just, what do you do with them? Because they're down below in the backyard. It's hard. I mean, it's a situation, all right? I mean, it's not an easy thing, and it's not as easy as just raking them onto a blanket or whatever, or a sheet and dragging them to the front. It's not that easy, all right? So the key to this whole thing is the guy's going to haul them away. And he didn't seem like a big, I don't know, I think that's a harsh evaluation, calling that guy a hick. You know, that's not nice. Seemed like a good old boy to me. Seemed like a nice guy. Sorry. So he goes, this wouldn't be that big of a deal. He goes, I got all kinds of equipment, you know. I just ride across this thing. Let's suck it all up into this, you know, I got this catcher on the back of my, I don't know, he's telling me all this tractor shit, I don't know. And he goes, it'd be easy. It'd be simple, you know, and just drive it up here and just put it, you know, just offload it into the dump truck and haul it away. You know, no, not a big deal. I said, all right, I like the sounds of this. I was thinking maybe like 150, like maybe even 125. No, 300. I said, what? $300? I said, there's no way I'm going to be able to convince my wife to do that. You know, I mean, I'm having an uphill battle on the 150. Double that? That's a non-starter, baby. I said, well, he goes, what do you think? Does that sound fair? I said, eh. I said, I'm going to have to give it some thought. I said, that's a little bit more than what I was planning to spend. But, you know, I'll give it some thought and give you a call. So, anyway, I don't know. I'm going to send my kids out there. They'll just shove it up in the woods. That's not a solution. God, it's like sweeping dirt under the rug, you know. It's no good. You know, I don't like it. So every time, like all this stuff, being a homeowner, I'm done with it. I'm ready for a condo living where they got a team of people that takes care of all this shit. And you pay a monthly fee, and it's all handled. And that's how I want to proceed, right? I've already transitioned in my mind and in my soul to condo living, but I still live in a house, and I still have all these responsibilities. I don't like it, you know? Anyway, so the trip to West Virginia, it was good. It was quick. There wasn't a whole lot. You know, we didn't do much. I mean, I see them like once a year. I try to go in the summertime. My goal every year is to go down twice, and I always go once. This time, the COVID, they didn't want any visitors. You know, they're 80 almost, pushing 80, 79. And, they were a little concerned about it. And so I didn't want to go down there. I mean, they wouldn't have turned me away, obviously. But it would have made them nervous, dragging my Pennsylvania spores in there. Just filling that house with Pennsylvania spores. I can understand their concern. So I didn't go. And then, but they're getting ready to go to Florida. And, you know, I got the window's closing. So I needed to go down there. So we spent 2 days together, and it was fun. It was fine. It's just, you know, it's a long way to go for a short visit, but that's the way it always is. And so let's see. The drive was about, it says it was 8 hours, 7 hours, 50 minutes, and I said it would take me 9. Actually, my goal on both ends of this trip was to almost never stop. And if I have to stop for urination purposes or gas, you know, get gas or maybe even get something to eat, it's quickie. It's like in and out. I mean, there's no lingering. It's got to be, I mean, I wanted to drive almost 100, as close to 100% of the time as I could, right? That was the goal. And I did a pretty good job. It took me like 8 hours. So I only added like 10 minutes on the way. 10 minutes to the Google number. And that's a pretty good accomplishment. I mean, I was like sprinting in there, power pissing, sprinting back, zipping up while I'm running, you know. I gotta accentuate this thing, you know. I gotta keep this thing compacted, tightly compacted. And I'm talking about the driving, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, So that was pretty good. On the way back, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but on the way back, I was starving. Man, I was really hungry. So I stopped at this Sheetz in Altoona, Pennsylvania, which sounds like it would be close to our house. No, far, really far. Altoona, Pennsylvania. And I take this highway. I just did what the GPS said. Take this. It has you get off at this exit, and you drive across this highway 99. I don't know anything about that. That's a bizarre, you know, that's not the usual route I take. And you go across, you feel like you're in Europe or something. It feels like you're in, like, maybe like Switzerland or something out there. It's very strange. And it's very rural, and it's like just wide open green fields, you know, on both directions. So anyway, I stopped at Altoona. I needed gas for one thing, and I also wanted to get something to eat. So I ordered two hot dogs with mustard and sauerkraut. Just all, you know, that's a perfect combination. I like it with chili too, but you can't eat chili. You can't eat a chili dog while driving. So you got to take that in consideration. I can't eat it while I'm there. That would take too much time. And I also ordered, on a whim, potato skins. Order of potato skins. And I got nacho cheese, tomatoes, onions, and what else? Feels like there's another. Oh, bacon. Yeah. So just traditional bacon skins. Potato skins. And so I was driving down that Highway 99 at like 80 miles an hour eating hot dogs and potato skins. You know? Probably not something it's not something recommended by by AAA, I would assume. But I made it work, you know. And I got home again, 8 hours. Fantastic. And it didn't even feel that bad because of that Myrtle Beach, that long ass Myrtle Beach trip. God, that set the bar. That reset my clock, you know, my inner sensors. That thing was 12 hours. That was a ball masher, you know. If you only drive 8, shit, that's a slam dunk, you know. So anyway, so the driving part wasn't bad at all. Perfect weather. I had no issues. There's no raining or anything or any fog. I hate fog. It's the worst. So that part was good. Let's see. I'll have a few notes from the trip itself. My parents on the second day, well, I got there late that night. And every time I come there or go there, every time I go there, my parents say, "Do you want some hot bologna?" The night I arrive, because they don't like waiting on me for dinner, because I never know when I'm going to be there. I say, "Don't wait on me," because that's another thing. They say, "What time are you leaving?" I said, "Don't try to lock me down, you know, because if I'm 5 minutes late, then they'll be pissed, you know." So, I said, just eat your dinner and then, you know, don't even worry about me. I said, I can stop and get something on the way in. It doesn't even matter. You don't have to deal with it at all. My dad says, "You want some hot bologna? It's a West Virginia delicacy. You familiar with this this wonderful conglomeration? It's a big, thick, it's gross. I mean, I'm not saying it's not, but big, thick slice of bologna. I don't know how thick it is. It's not super, it's not as thick as like a T-bone steak, but probably like half that thickness, right? And you cook it in the way my parents cook it, it's just in barbecue sauce, right? And they fry it in they cover it in barbecue sauce, put it in a skillet and cook it up, you know? And then you put it on this big bun, and then you put lettuce, tomato, whatever you want on it, just a normal sandwich. That shit, you can get that. You go to any bowling alley or bar or diner in West Virginia and get a hot bologna. I mean, that's something that they serve up there. I don't know. It's really good. It's, it's good. That's really good. I like it. You know, I could eat it every day. My kids would revolt. And Tony wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But anyway, so it's a tradition. They made me two big old giant hot bologna sandwiches. You know, and so that's the first night. The next day, they're like, "You want to drive around? Take, you know, just so we just get in. We just pile into their van, And this drive, we just drive around for hours and hours and hours all over the valley, you know, it's whatever. I told my mom, I said, before we go, I want to make something very clear. I said, don't embarrass me. Don't put me in a situation where I'm embarrassed. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, the thing that you do every time we go out where you want to introduce me or you want to put me on the spot or, like, she goes, what do you mean? I said, like that time we're at that Milton flea market, I said, this guy, we walk up to this old guy and you go, Jeff, do you remember this? Do you remember him? And I'm like, no. And now he knows I don't remember him. You know, it's embarrassing. I don't know. I said, I don't know these people. I said, who is that guy? I said, he was the dad of a guy I went to high school. I don't even know the guy that I went to high school with. How in the hell would I know his dad? You know? It's like, don't put me, I said, she goes, oh, Jeff, please. I said, everywhere we go, you want to get me connected with people. I don't know who they are. And it's embarrassing because I said, the rule of thumb is I don't want to talk to anybody. I said, we can go. I mean, you know, I want to go and just like do a tour, I guess, of the place I lived in for many years. But, you know, I don't want to talk to anybody. I said, I don't want to have any interactions. I don't want to have any cutesy interactions with people. She's like, oh my God, Jeff, you're a basket case. So you don't know the half of it. So I laid down the ground rules. And at one time we were in Dunbar, the town I grew up in, and we're driving down this street, and she sees some people up on the porch of a house, and she goes, John, pull over, you know. So he's like, what's going on? So he pulls over, she gets out, and she goes up and starts talking to these people. I said, who's this? Who's she talking to? I don't know. She must think she knows them, or maybe she does know them. I said, what the hell's going on? So then they go inside the house, right? I said, we'll never see her again. I said, that's it. I mean, we'll never see her again. So they go inside the house. Next thing you know, this guy comes out and he goes, hey, Jeff. I said, who the hell's this? You know, your mom made me come out and talk to you. I said, okay. I know, I literally no idea who he is. And he tells me who he is, and, you know, we're in school together. He was like a year younger than me. I was like, what the? You know, he didn't want to come out and talk to me. I mean, we don't even know each other. I mean, I knew of his existence, and he probably knew of my existence, but we weren't friends. We had no relationship whatsoever. I mean, I don't have anything against the guy. I don't know him. And like, we're forced to stand there and do this weird chit chat. It's all orchestrated by my mom, you know? I said, that's the kind of stuff I want to avoid. I said, I don't want any of that. She's like, oh my God, oh, you are so stupid. No, she didn't say stupid, but that was implied. So we drove all around Dunbar. We were all around the Kanawha Valley. We drove all over Putnam County. We were all over. For hours and hours and hours. Drove all over. It was fine. You know, the thing about Dunbar is, you know, down by the river, it still looks pretty nice. And the farther you get away from the river, the shittier it gets. That breaks my heart. You know, I grew up there. It was a wonderful town. It's, you know, I don't want to say dump, but, you know, I'm not going to not say dump. It's a shame, you know. And, you know, I'm part of the problem, as I'm reminded by some people. You know, I left, but whatever. Big exciting thing, they opened a Taco Bell up there. Hell yeah. We're that place is thriving, baby. Taco Bell. Anyway, so we drove up in Charleston. That looks nice. I mean, they've done a great job with Charleston. Charleston is a beautiful town, city. It's a beautiful city. It's got a river running through it. It's pretty, you know. And it looks nice, and it's got all these like bars and restaurants and it's got, you know, it's like really nice. It's well, I mean, they've done a really good job with downtown Charleston. So that's what we did. We drove all around, and that's what we did. And then we went to Cracker Barrel that evening, and it was another. I mean, I hate to be shitting on my beloved Cracker Barrel. But something's gone. Last few visits there have been unsatisfactory. They used to have this thing that I used to get every time. It was called the Cracker Barrel Sampler, right? It was like these half orders. It was like a half order of, it's like one plate that has three different half entrees. So basically you're getting an entree and a half, right? It's a half an order of meatloaf, half an order of chicken and dumplings, or as we call it, dumplings, and a slice of ham. That's the weak link. The ham, you can do without that, but whatever. And then you get three sides, right? So that thing costs like $10, you know, and it was a lot of food, and it was really good. I like the combination of the tangy, the meatloaf with the more, I don't want to say bland, but you know, like the potato or I'm sorry, the chicken and dumplings. And it was a perfect combination. You get mashed potatoes and gravy. Oh, it's good. Sweet tea. Oh, perfect. Okay. Then coronavirus hit. They changed their menu. It was down to one sheet of paper, you know. Cracker Barrel used to be one of these places where it was like they'd bring you a book, you know, like page after page of stuff on their menu. And they shrunk it down to like one front and back. And it was like an abbreviated version of their menu. So, and they didn't have the Cracker Barrel sampler on there anymore, right? So I was like, what the? They do away with this thing? All right, so we went to the one in Barboursville, West Virginia. And they had the big honking menu back. I said, all right, it's back. Yeah. And it had the Cracker Barrel sampler on there, $15. It used to be $9.79 or something. I was like, well, I said, that's too much. My dad goes, just get whatever you want. Don't worry about it. I was like, I don't know. That seems like that's too much. So he talked me into it. I ordered it, and it was, it was different. It was like this. It was like a full order of all three of those things. It was like massive amounts of food, and it was, it wasn't good. It was too much. It was like too much of a good thing. I was like, I'll never order this again. They've ruined it. Why'd they ruin it? I don't need all this, you know. I mean, I generally like the massive amounts of food, but this is just too much. I felt guilty, you know. I felt ashamed of myself. You know, it's like something for a family. It's like a family-sized meal. So they ruined that shit. And the waiter, he was terrible. I don't know what his problem was. The guy sucked. He should be doing something other than waitering. I can tell you that much right now. It's like we're having this problem over and over again. I guess they're having problems hiring people, right? Because they're just hiring anybody that walks in off. This guy had no ability. The guy sucked. He was terrible, you know? So he wasn't taking care of us. My tea glass was empty 2/3 of the time. He didn't bring us any silverware. I ordered, like, my sides were all screwed up. He brought the wrong stuff. My mom was like, I'm going to get this thing straightened out. I said, I'll just eat whatever he brought me. Don't worry about it. No, this is, you know, she was wanting to go to war with this guy. I said, don't worry about it. I'll just eat whatever, you know. And the whole thing was unsatisfactory. You know, it was a gluttonous, you know, I don't need full servings. I don't need three entrees, you know. I don't. Even a man of my stature, I don't need that. So that was disappointing. One day this guy stopped. My mom ran out the front door. Hey. This guy's walking these big old giant dogs. And she goes, I want you to meet my son. I'm like, here we go. This is exactly what I was talking about. At least there wasn't some expectation of me knowing this guy. But, it was very, very awkward. He goes, so he has these big-ass dogs. They weigh 120 pounds each, you know. And the guy's, like, all jacked. The guy's, like, ripped, you know. This guy's, like, working out 24 hours a day. So we're out there talking. He's nice. It's fine. But it's a very awkward situation. Just the kind of shit that happens, you know. And so I'm playing with the dogs, you know, petting them. They're big old giant. I don't know what kind they were, but they have like heads like cinder blocks, you know, big old heads. They're not like pit bulls. I don't know what they are. But anyway, so he goes, "So where are you from?" I said, "Pennsylvania." He goes, "What area? Or where, you know, whereabouts?" I said, "Scranton area." He goes, "Oh, one of my favorite band." Now, he didn't say one of my favorite bands. He said my favorite band reformed this summer, and they were supposed to play up there. And he goes, "But they canceled it because of the virus." I said, "Who's that?" And he goes, "Oysterhead." I said, "What the?" I said, "Is that one of those Les Claypool, like, side projects?" He goes, "Yeah, exactly. I'm impressed." I said, "All right. I don't need, you know. I'm impressed that an old fat bastard like you would know something like that. Like, hey. I don't need to be patronized. All right. Not patronized. Patronized." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Where was he going to play? Where were they going to play?" He goes, "Montage." I said, "What the fuck?" I said, "You mean Montage Mountain? It's an amphitheater." He called it Montage. So I said, "All right, well, I'm sorry to hear that your Oysterhead reunion tour got sidetracked. But, you know, maybe next summer they can come to Montage. I don't know, Montage Mountain." Anyway, so that, you know, that happened. And then my aunt and uncle came over, and you know, we sat around and talked for, I don't know, hours, and I don't know what else we did. My dad would crack. Oh, we watched a lot of game shows, as you know, my mom likes to watch the Game Show Network, right? So we watched a lot of that, and we were watching Wheel of Fortune at one point, and I said, "Remember back when?" Remember when, in the early days of the Wheel of Fortune, when the winner at the end could pick prizes? So they'd have like all these prizes all over the stage, and they could go down the line. I'll take the trip to Waikiki for $6,000, and I'll take that cooler over there for $500. You know? Do you remember that? And they're like, "That never happened." You know, it's like, "I don't remember that." They're like, "This," they're like, "Psh, where do you come up with these ideas? That never happened." Both of them were like shitting all over it. I said, "That happened. That's what they used to call it, the shoppers." I don't know what they called it. Something like the shopping segment or something. And they're like, "Ah, I don't know. You know, I don't know." But do you remember that? Whoever's listening to this, do you remember the Wheel of Fortune? The winner would get to, they'd have whatever, how much money they had that they won, they could spend on this big, massive display of gifts and prizes and stuff. You remember that? And then at the end, if it would be like $200 left over, they'd go, "And I'll take the rest on account." All right. So they acted like I was just talking straight out my ass, you know. And also, my dad cracked me up. He's hilarious. Every story he tells, he just uses the right words and the right phrases, and he has a different way of thinking about things, and it's hilarious. And he was telling me about somebody down in Florida. He said their house is like filthy or whatever. And he goes, "I try not to use their bathroom." He goes, "But I was over there one day, and He goes, "I had to go in there," and he goes, "That reminded me of Banjo Rollins's filling station over on Dunbar Avenue." I said, "What?" He goes, "You remember Banjo Rollins?" I said, "When was this?" He goes, "I don't know, the 60s. I said, "I wasn't buying too much gas in the 1960s. He goes, "I was over on Dunbar Avenue." He goes, "Notorious, like the filthiest bathrooms in the whole valley. You know, everybody, it was famous for having the filthiest bathrooms." And that's what they're reminding me of, Banjo Rollins's SO or whatever. So I don't know, the way he comes up with these ways of describing things, cracks me up. He's hilarious. Funniest guy I've ever met, you know. And I'm not even joking. So, all right, so that was the whole trip. And the drive back, I ate that smorgasbord at that I bought at Sheetz. Driving down 80 miles an hour on Highway 99. That seems like some kind of like horror film, Highway 99, you know. And it felt like I was in a horror film at some points. But anyway, the trip was good. And now my parents are going to Florida. And they won't be back till the spring. And that's the way it goes. So before I go here, I do have a message on my from the hotline. This is a follow-up from my poopisode. The episode I talked about people shitting their pants and whatnot, you know. One of the classic episodes of the Surf Report. But so this is a follow-up. This thing came in a while back, and I forgot to, you know, I've been in disarray. Everything's in disarray. This is a call from Joe Gallo. All right, he used to be a zine. Back in the zine days, he was involved in that whole thing, you know. And he wrote reviews for this magazine called Zine World, and so did I. You know, we've known each other since the zine days. There used to be this thing called Alt Zines. It was a news group, the early days of the internet. I think he was active there. You know, we've known each other just kind of like through the zine world, literally through the zine world, the magazine zine world, and the world of zines, you know. Anyway, so he called the hotline, left this message as a follow-up on the poopisode. And it's hilarious. I was laughing out loud when I heard this, and I'm going to play it for you now.
How you doing, Jeff? This is your old Zine World buddy, Joe Gallo. Your poopisode was quite inspiring. Lots of laughs, belly laughs, good shit, no pun intended. Reminded me of my most recent pants shitting. I'm 46, and I think I've shat my pants 4 times as an adult. Most recently was the most horrifying and the only one that did not involve alcohol. Christmas Eve 2018 at my goddamn mother-in-law's house. We're not married, my girlfriend and I, but, you know, 6-7 years together. I call her my mother-in-law. Good people, all of them good people, nice family. Half of them are vegetarian, gluten-free, hippie-type humans, and that's fine. They're good people. Not assholes about it. But for this Christmas Eve dinner, all of the food was to that sort of type. The potatoes with crazy shit in them, lots of salads with bulgur wheat and fucking wheat germ and whatever. Salads with crazy vegetables I've never heard of and dressings that tasted like pure anus. The main course was a literal tofurkey, branded tofurkey, which actually was quite nice. The best part of the meal. Good texture, good taste. Not like turkey, but it was a good thing. So I do my duty as a good boyfriend, eat the meal, and it was fine. Everything was fine. After the meal, I'm sitting at the table. The kids are off opening presents because Christmas Eve, everyone opens a few presents. Plus, they're guests. You know, they traveled from out of town, so they're opening presents tonight so they can go home. I'm just sitting there like a normal human being, not feeling sick, feeling fine. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh my goodness, that doesn't feel right. And it was so, I've never had this experience before. It was as if my sphincter just said, nah, I'm done for the day. There was no sickness, no pain, just I started shitting. I went from zero to shitting my pants in approximately 4 seconds. For no goddamn reason. So the bathroom, of course, is upstairs, up a winding series of stairs. I'm waddling up the stairs, my pants full of and filling with shit. I get to the top, find the bathroom, which is a very strange bathroom. It's got an open, I've never seen, next to the toilet is an open fucking window with no glass. It's like a square of empty space overlooking the goddamn kitchen. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, but it is what it is. So I get up there, I clean myself up the best I can. I don't know what, I don't know if I was wearing my underwear still, but the whole thing was full of fucking shit. And I clean myself up. Go, that took 10 minutes. Go downstairs. Like, there's no way to hide this. So I'm like, my girlfriend, hey, baby, come here. I just shit my pants. I need to know, can you smell it? Can you tell that I shit my pants? And she doesn't like poop or poop stories. Like, she couldn't listen to your poop-isode. She's a trooper, though, and she loves me. So she fucking stands there, bends down a little, and recoils in horror. Yes, I can smell it. I said, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in the car, tell everybody that I am sick. Take your time. Take 10, 15, 30 minutes, an hour. Extract yourself when you can. But I am going to go wait in the car. I'll put down the towel, I promise. just extract yourself and we'll go home. I'll tell people I'm sick. I'm not sick. I don't feel sick. She did it. We were gone within like 20 minutes, headed out the door. I was already in the car. She was headed out the door. Never felt sick for one second during this entire debacle. Never felt bad before or after. That was an experience, man. Anyway, thanks for listening. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
See what I'm saying? That was hilarious. That thing had some good, that had some good details. It had some good lines in it. Reminded me of my dad a little bit. Picking the right words. That's the thing. You know, people can tell a story and it'll be, you know, it'll be funny. But if you adjust, just tweak the word choice, makes a huge difference. And Joe Gallo achieved that. That was a great one, man. That's one of the best calls that we've received so far. So thank you, Joe. Thanks for calling in. I'm sorry it took me a while to get it posted, but I do appreciate it. If you guys want to call in, if you have any shit stories to tell or any other stories, it doesn't have to be shit related. Although I urge all, you know, I do urge that. But anyway, if you have anything you want to say, anything you want to respond to, ideas, comments, whatever, call my hotline 570-290-8151. Again, 570-290-8151. It's 24 hours a day. It's voicemail. Just call it up, say what you got to say, and I'll probably use it in a future episode. Also, if you want two of these a week, I'm back in the saddle, so there's going to be, and we're back on the rhythm. We got the rhythm going again. There won't be any more traveling. Too much travel, too much driving, disruptions, you know, too many opportunities. But anyway, we're back in the saddle. If you want two of these every week, instead of just a measly one, if this one today is good enough for you, you know, I don't know what to say to you. If you want another one later in the week, you can do that right now. You can just go hop on over to patreon.com. That's Patreon, patreon.com/Jeff K. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation, and you'll get an extra episode for patrons only every week. Not every once in a while. That's for suckers. Every week. You can do it today. $4 will do it. You can go higher if you want. It's a donation. You can do whatever amount you want. It's up to you. But $4 will unlock the extra episode. So do it today. Patreon.com/Jeff K. Also, if you want to send me an email, send it to surfreportpod@gmail.com. All right. We're at the end of this thing. I went long again. I apologize. Not to you, but to Zip. I don't apologize to you. I apologize to Zip, who has to edit this thing. It's a little long. But anyway, hope you guys enjoyed it. And I will be back later in the week with the Patreon episode. Until then, you guys have yourselves a fine, fine day. I'll see ya. Bye.
I'm waddling up the stairs, my pants full of and filling with shit.